It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo. Welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. Happy Thirsty Thursday, and what a thirsty Thursday it is. We got the NFL Draft. I love me a little NFL Draft. We love talking about the quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks have been talked about a whole lot. I mean, there is a plethora of quarterbacks in this draft. A lot of people think the most since 1983 are going to be drafted. We're going to find out tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to bring on Isaac Simpson at 11:30 because we also got to talk about the NBA. I mean, we got draft. We got Cavs and Magic at 6 o'clock. Knicks 76ers at 6:30 and the Nuggets and the Lakers tonight at 9 o'clock. And we'll definitely have to talk a little bit about the Nuggets and the Lakers. Anthony Davis throwing Darvin Ham under the bus. Whoa, Anthony, where were you though in that fourth quarter? Where were you in the fourth quarter? Yeah, you've played the most games you've ever played in your career. You've had a great season. I'm not saying that, but it is kind of interesting. And I'm not sitting there like super defending Darvin Ham, but we have to be honest with ourselves. The only team that Darvin Ham has lost to in the playoffs would be the Denver Nuggets last year. And this year, it looks like the only team the Lakers are going to lose to again would be the Denver Nuggets this year. We'll talk a lot of basketball with Isaac Simpson at 11:30. I'm excited to talk about some of the things that we saw last night. How about them Heat? How about the Heat? 111-101.
How about them, John?
Bro, why didn't I have the cojones to put money on the money line? Probably because I'm not
Celtics,
crazy.
Man. Yeah, you're not crazy. You're not a lunatic.
But I did. I love the Braves. Did I tell you how much I love the Braves?
You did.
Do you know how much I love the Braves? Because I ended up doing a lot of parlays yesterday because I just got buck wild because I had those damn 50%. I missed the 50. I have it alive. I can't remember. I had 30s and 20s and all these little parlay boosts. I was putting the Braves and with everybody. I took the Heat with 14 with everybody. And Oklahoma City. Man, we're going to talk about what we saw last night. But, man, I mean, what the Heat were able to do to the Celtics was impressive. And was Tyler Hero the best basketball player on the court last night?
Sure looked like it.
Damn, what's up, Hero? Man had 24 points, dropped six bombs, and you won't even believe this. You have to go look it up. Tyler Hero had 14 dimes last night. My man had 14 assists. Bam played out of his mind. Caleb Martin was pretty damn awesome. He was physical. He also guarded, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, and they dared my man to beat him, and he only had 6 points. 0 for 4 from the three-point line. He had a terrible game. But the Heat, they took care of the business. The one thing, though, also about that game is, you know, Tyler Hero brought a lot of attention on himself because of his play. I mean, he was flat-out awesome. Straight up give him credit. But did you see Tyler Hero in the post-game by any chance?
I did not, no.
Bro, he had on his, like, glasses and his little pink hat and his little pink shirt. And it was like he looked just like Hunter S. Thompson when – what's the Pirates of the Caribbean actor?
Johnny Depp.
When Johnny Depp was playing in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and he was Hunter S. Thompson in that movie, that's what Tyler Hero came to the podium looking like. I was like, damn, Tyler, you just have like one of the greatest games in your career. You got – you know, they talk to you after the ball game because you were so awesome. And then you go to the podium looking like a cross between, you know who Gilligan is?
The one who was on an island?
Yeah, with the movie star and the girl next door.
There you go.
And then there was, a doctor and his wife.
All on Gilligan's Island.
He looked like a cross between Gilligan because he's not as good looking as Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp from Hunter S. Thompson. But damn, he played like a freaking all-star. Big credit to the Miami Heat. And just a terrible performance from Boston. Shaq, if you listen to him, they live by the three, they die by the three. They still hit 37%, but they only made 12 of 32. And the Miami Heat, though, shot probably better than they could ever imagine shooting. I mean, it was their best shooting performance, period, from downtown. They hit 23 three-pointers. 23 three-pointers. They shot 53%. So while everybody is killing Boston this morning, I don't know if Miami's going to be able to duplicate the performance that they had, and they still only won the game by 10. And again, they played out of their minds. So calm down, Boston Celtics fans. This thing, I know what happened last year. I know how Jimmy Buck, you know, Butler is putting out little memes, you know, with his face on Jason Tatum's bottom. Don't let us win one game, because, of course, the 3-0 start last year by Miami, because they'll come back and win the series. It didn't happen. Miami's made a series of it. It is a 1-1 split headed back to Miami. But if I'm Boston, this is a 64-win team. This is a team that in half their games this season, at some point in that game, got up by 20 points on their opponent. Half. This is an impressive basketball team. So calm down. They'll make some adjustments. Kristaps Porzingis will not play that bad. He was terrible. Terrible. He'll be back. Brown and Tatum are fine. And Boston, don't worry. But my goodness, wasn't impressive. Getting the Heat plus 14.5 was never really a sweater. First half, it was a little bit like you were still scared at halftime. You thought to yourself, God, I hope Boston doesn't come out there and punch him in the face. But about 4 minutes, 5 minutes into that, 4 minutes into that third quarter, you were feeling really dead gum good if you had the Heat in the points. If you had Heat in the money line, you must be a Heat fan, because that took some cojones. But yeah, we got a little series. Also last night, Oklahoma City, the number one team in the West, the youngest team to ever be a one seed coming out of the West, a team that struggled, took a Shea super shot to take the lead late with about, I think it was like 25 seconds left in the game. He hits the shot. Thunder survived the first game. Well, last night, they didn't just survive. They came out there, and it was from the jump. It was straight up from, they were up 13 points at the end of the first quarter. And the thing about the Pelicans is, man, it wasn't just the fact that they were shooting all over the place and making shots, and this whole young offensive squad was awesome. In the second half, the defense from Oklahoma City was suffocating. That was just a rout, an absolute rout. And the Pelicans did come out. JV tried to get real physical down low. It was working. Chet can't get physical with him. But, man, when he stretches him out to that three-point line and JV just stays in the paint, Chet can just sit there and bury threes, open up things for everybody else. He was 3-for-6 last night. The big, tall, seven-footer Chet Holmgren, real skinny, can't play in the post. But, damn it, can he stroke it? And then Williams, goodness. This is a team that can go absolutely off. I mean, Dort last night hits, what, 4 three-pointers, just looking pure. That's a team last night that hit 14 threes and shot 48% from downtown. But this is a team that I think can actually do that again, unlike the Miami Heat. Oklahoma City is going to be a pain. And the Pelicans not having Zion, good team. Ingram just didn't have it last night. He did not have it. That whole team, New Orleans, just didn't have it. They had to win the play-in game after a heartbreaking loss in the very, very first one, the little play-in game that they played at their house, and they couldn't take care of business. But, yeah, man, 76ers, though, they play tonight. They play the Knicks, and this is a team that finds themselves in an 0-2 hole going back home after one of the most monumental collapses you've seen in the playoffs in a long time. I know that the committee in the NBA came out there and said, yes, there should have been 2 fouls on Tyrese Maxey. There should have been a timeout award. Shoulda. Sixers, 0-2 hole. Embiid looking hobbled as all get out. And Jalen Brunson, who hasn't played good against this Knicks team all year long, for the season, playoffs and regular seasons, my man's shooting 32% against the Knicks. He's going to get off. He's going to get going. Can the 76ers make it a series? Possibly. But the Knicks plus 5.5 at home? Listen, I love Maxey. I like Embiid. Embiid's nasty. Knicks don't have an answer for him. Problem is they can continue to get physical with him, continue to run up and down the court, make him move. That poor girl again who's going to be working on his knee all night, she's going to be one of the busiest people in the arena down in Philadelphia. But the Nova Knicks are serious. Dante DiVincenzo's been playing out of his mind. Josh Hart's been playing out of his mind. Jalen Brunson, once he gets it back together, I like the Knicks. And remember, I took the 76ers before the playoffs like an idiot to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I was like, oh, Embiid's back. They're going to start doing all this, and this. And then he just doesn't look, I mean, he's not 100%. I'll tell you one thing, though. Him at 70% still better than most. I mean, looking forward to that game. But, man, 5.5 points? Please. We got to talk about that. We'll talk about that. We got a lot of great stuff today. I am extremely fired up for this Thursday. Because not only do we have the NBA, not only do we have the draft, but we got day
NHL.
Baseball. And by the way, I forgot. I didn't pay any attention to hockey. I didn't get a tip yesterday.
It was exhilarating last night. Holy cow. Man, that Edmonton and Kings game was insane. Kings go up 3-1 at the end of the first period. All over Edmonton, in Edmonton. Edmonton comes out second period, scores 2 goals, ties it up 3-3. And I bet, how about this? You can bet in NHL games, next goal score. So you can choose which team's going to score the next goal. And so right at that first intermission, I said, you know what? Edmonton's flying around, getting a lot of shots on net. Puck's just not going in. They're going to come out hot, one to knock this thing back up. I'm going to take them to get the next goal. Sure enough, they get the next goal quick in the second period. They're flying out there. They tie it up. We go to a break, come back out. Kings go back up 4-3. Edmonton knots it right back up. We go to overtime, John, and the Kings on the road net a goal in OT, and so they go up. They knot it 1-1, tie the series 1-1, going back to LA. How about
and
that?
That is your
that was awesome
hockey update.
Also, Toronto lost, which we hate to see.
By the way,
Canada's team.
Yes, sir. Are you proud of? I'm glad that you always say the puck. Remember when I was saying put the ball in the.
They were just holding the ball.
Oh yeah. The Nashville Predators were just holding the ball.
Wrong.
Yeah, they were holding the puck. But no, the thing I was going to mention is, do you realize we got the draft tonight?
That's right. I already made a bet for the draft tonight.
Well, I'm going to find out what that is in a minute. We have three NBA playoff games, and we're getting drunk on baseball starting in, 15 minutes. We got Brewers and the Pirates at 11:30. Then don't forget you got Red Sox and Guardians of the Galaxy. And by the way, the Guardians are 17-7. Did you realize that?
Best record in baseball.
Holy, what? Did you see this happening?
I did not.
Me neither. They're looking really good right now. But not only do we have that, we also have the White Sox, the worst team in baseball, who are 3-21. They're 1-12 on the road. They're terrible. They're terrible. They play the Twins. You got the Phillies and the Reds. Zach Wheeler's on the bump today for the Phillies. That's why that line is -185. It's a big lay against a little up-and-coming Cincinnati team that has got a lot of fight in them. I like them. I just don't think I like them today. I mean, I'm a Zach Wheeler fan. My man's 1-3 on the season, but his ERA is 2.3. Don't you feel like the Phillies are eventually going to score him some damn runs?
Mm-hmm.
And the bullpen's going to hold up? Like, doesn't it feel like today at 12:10, you have to, like, the law of he's too damn good to be 1-3. Mm. He's not going to be 1-4 after today, right?
You would hope not.
I would think that this is one of those days that you have to pay to play.
Back the Phils?
I'm backing the Phils. I have to. You're going to have to lay the 185. You're going to have to pay to play. But I feel like as good as the Cincinnati's team is Zach Wheeler is due. Great American Ballpark. Fans, head on out there. Watch a good one. But, man, it ain't going to be good for your team because I feel like the Phillies are finally going to bust up whoever – what is it, Nick Martinez?
That's right.
Yeah, Nick Martinez. They're going to bust Nick Martinez up today. Like, they got to get my man some run support. So I'm laying the number. But we got baseball. We got the NBA basketball. We got all kinds of great things going on. I got some hardwood because it feels so damn good at 12:30. But also, don't forget, we got Evie Van Pelt today. She's going to be at 12 o'clock. We're going to talk all things Ole Miss. Always a lot of stuff going on. So we'll bust that up with the RebelWalk.com's very own Evie Van Pelt. But I wanted to remind you, not only do all these wonderful things go on, but you know mugshots, you know what they're doing?
Today's their ribbon cutting grand opening, it's, right?
Yes, they've been open. They've been open all week. They opened up, I believe, last Thursday. Today is the ribbon cutting, the grand opening, the ceremony. And if you're going mugshots, yeah, you're right. There is a mugshot down in Olive Branch. But now the first one in Tennessee is opened up out in Carterville. It's at 656 West Poplar. So cheers to great food, good drinks, fun company. Head on over to Mugshots Bar and Grill. Check them out. They're always having a good time over there. And not only is it their grand opening, their ribbon cutting, all this good stuff, but somebody's going to win free burgers for a year. They haven't announced it. You better go to Facebook really, really quick. Follow Mugshots Carterville. Like, tag two friends, share that junt, because in a minute they're going to find out, pull that bad boy. Somebody's going to win free burgers for a year, $675 value. And there's like nothing that you have to purchase. You just got to go onto the Facebook, follow, like, tag two friends, share. By the way, again, Mugshots has one of the best happy hours I've ever been to. 2 to 6. You heard that right. 2 to 6. They got draft beers out the frizzame. All their draft Yingling, Ultras, the Coors Light, the Bud Light. Guess what? Half price, 2 to 6. They got the normal size, and then they got the big boy. I like the big boy. Yeah. They also have $3 snacks. You can get some Rotel and chips, some chicken tenders, some fried mushrooms, oh, some fried pickles, $3 snacks, half price drafts, 2 to 6 Monday through Friday. That's Mugshots, where they're always having a good time. Again, 656 West Poplar. It's the old Charlie's out there in Carterville, close to Byhalia and Poplar. So head on out there and have a little good fun. Now, we're going to take a little bit of an early break. We're going to break now because we got to get Isaac Simpson on early. Isaac, remember, he was sick as a dog, missed for a couple weeks. He's fired up and he's got a lot on his chest. We have the NFL draft tonight. We got to talk with him. We got playoff basketball. And then maybe a little bit of Grizzlies news and what they're going to do this year with the draft. So don't you dare touch the dial. We are back in Two Shakes. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour on a thirsty Thursday. I'm so glad to have you because it is a jam-packed Thursday. We got wall-to-wall baseball, bro, starting here in 8 minutes first pitch. Baseball. I'm a little fired up about that. Plus the NFL draft. NFL draft's like awesome. It's going to be fun. I have strong opinions. I'm still, a lot of people think I'm crazy. I have finally heard at least a few other people that agree with me. There are, you know, a few like unnamed general managers a little bit worried about Kaysen, you know, Caleb Williams, his personality. Did you see yesterday what he did?
I mean, if you're going to be a GM that says something like that, put your name on it.
I agree.
I mean, unnamed,
well, they,
please.
Technically, they probably, you know, like, you really couldn't do that. Like,
grow a pair and put your name on it. I mean, you're a GM in the National Football League.
No,
have some guts.
Yeah, you can't be like, because what if he's awesome and one day you want to trade for
him? But what
him
if he's
something?
Terrible? And then
you
everyone can go, wow, this guy was smart.
Well, the problem is about that is betting against him is you know, double-edged sword because, I mean, again, he's got an amazing talent. You know, he was the number one high school quarterback coming out of high school. You know, took over in Oklahoma for Spencer Rattler, won a Heisman at USC. But, man, he's a different bird. Everybody shows up, wears the exact same thing yesterday at the little – did you see that? Everybody in their gray suits.
I think heady play by him. You know, he's trying to
stand out.
Brand deals coming in. You know, if maybe you want to go sign with Under Armour or something like that. You don't want to be wearing a Nike, sweatsuit. No. I get it.
No.
Tell people you're open for business.
No, he's a
businessman. Someone I read something that compared him to Jay-Z. He said he wanted to be the Jay-Z of the NFL.
I would prefer my quarterback to be 100% all in on football. Again, he's going, but we'll definitely discuss this with Isaac. We'll talk about the NBA. We'll talk a little Grizz, Tigers, all that and more because he covers it all. And he joins me right now. What up, Isaac? How you doing on this beautiful, thirsty Thursday?
Man, doing well, man. NFL draft day, man, so I'm excited. Ready for it.
Me too. And I want to start at the top, and I just want to ask you because I'm kind of curious what you think. I've made my opinion very known, at least on these airwaves, that I like Jaden Daniels much more than Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Because I see him play in time. He plays from the pocket. He completed 72% of his passes. He had the most passes over 20 yards last year. He throws the ball vertical again. And I know everybody's like, well, look at his wide receivers. Well, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks with some great wide receivers who can't get them the damn ball. And yes, he helped make his wide receivers just as much as his wide receivers helped make him. This is a team that had to score, and they did it. He won the Heisman Trophy. He's gotten better every single year from Arizona State all the way out to Georgia. Like, I love me some Jaden Daniels. And plus, I don't feel that there's as many red flags with Caleb Williams because it scares me when you have a father as your agent. It scares me when you go to Tokyo with your girlfriend on a whim and cancel a bunch of, pre-draft meetings that you were supposed to have. It just kind of scares me the fact that they lost the last six games of the year and he looked terrible against Notre Dame. It scares me also that he doesn't seem to, want to play in the system of the offense. He wants to extend everything. It's more – and again, Johnny Manziel was great at doing that. It's you can do this stuff in college. Pat Mahomes does it, but he's also different. Do you have, as many concerns about Caleb Williams as I do?
Absolutely. It's like you read my brain. I'm right there with you on Caleb Williams and all the outside stuff. I don't know if he's a leader. I think he is a bit of a diva. I would be scared to death if I were the Bears to take him number one. I know a lot of people think he's this generational talent, and I just don't know, man. You saw a lot of games when, especially when they were losing. Like, you see him on the sideline, it's like he doesn't really care. Then one game, not that that's bad or anything, he showed emotion, but he was crying on the sideline. But a lot of times, he just seemed...
jumps in his mama's arms. Listen, I love my mama, but, after I lose, I don't want my mama on national television covering me up because I'm balling on TV. And also, I'm not going to go wear pink fingernails and do all this weird stuff. And plus, he's also going to, paint his fingernails for the draft tonight. I don't know, man. He's just, he's the first NIL superstar. And I understand he's a young fella and you can grow up and mature. But again, you're going to invest the number one overall pick. This is a franchise in the Bears who have never had a 4,000-yard passer. They've never had a guy throw 30 touchdowns in a freaking season. This is a team that's starred for some quarterback talent. Caleb Williams makes me so damn scared.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. And, I mean, it's just always something. You saw the video where they had all the draftee guys. They all have on the same warm-up. He had on something different. Like, it's always something.
And he was the last person out, too, in the very back, walking with his hands in his pocket and his head down. Like, just looked so disinterested, like he didn't want to be there. Like, when they were asking him questions, like pulling teeth, I'm like, damn, man.
Yeah, I have a lot of question marks about him as far as being a leader of a team. How does he react under pressure? I just have a lot of questions. I mean, you look at USC, there were a lot of games where, they weren't good, especially later in the season. There's just a lot of red flags. I'm with you with Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in his class. You look at the dual threat ability, the way that he can run the football, but also I think the best passer, doesn't turn the football over. I think only had four INTs this year. I love Jaden Daniels, and I think the Commanders are gonna have him fall into their lap. But I think you're actually dodging a bullet not getting Caleb Williams. I know a lot of people think that's crazy, but I really do think at the end of the day, when you look back on this class, Jaden Daniels is gonna be the best quarterback, and I don't even think it's particularly close, to be honest.
I'm so with you, and again, a lot of I was listening to the NFL Network, and you know they're doing all these comparisons. By the way, one person I wish I could remember his name said that he thinks Caleb Williams is like Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Lamar Jackson. If you put the best attributes from all three of them together and put them in one person, that's Caleb Williams. And I was like, damn. That's a pretty crazy comparison. But, you know, then other people have been trying to compare him to Lamar Jackson. Man, I'm going back in some time. There was a 6'4", 6'5" quarterback just like Jaden Daniels who could run but had a beautiful down-the-field pass in Randall Cunningham. Could you imagine him playing in today's type of NFL, who played for 16 years and was a flat-out baller? I think he's more like Randall Cunningham, and his, you know, the way he even moves in the pocket is very, very similar, and his escapability. Like, he throws the ball better than Lamar Jackson already. He does.
Oh, 100%.
Like, 100%. And we see how effective Lamar Jackson is when he doesn't even throw the football. Like, I think Jaden Daniels is going to take the league by storm.
Yeah, man. Being a Cowboys fan, I hate that he's going to end up with the Commanders, because I think he's going to be a player we got to deal with for years, man. I like I said, and you mentioned the size at 6'4", about 215. I like a taller quarterback. I like the size at 6'4". I mean, the athleticism, like you said, like I talked about at the top, the dual threat ability that he brings. I mean, like 1,100 yards rushing, like broke all kind of LSU records for rushing for a quarterback. You just look at the numbers. I don't think it's even close. I mean, people think Caleb Williams is going to be this big star, and maybe we look back on this in a couple of years and we're completely wrong. But I just think a lot of the personality stuff scares me, and I think that can have an effect on the field. He's talented. There's no question about that, but I just don't know the mental aspect of the game, because you're a quarterback, man. There are certain things that you have to have. You have to be a leader of men in that locker room.
Correct.
And being there, and I just don't know if he's that guy.
All eyes are on you. Like, you are the person, you are going to rep that franchise. You have to make that offensive line, those tight ends, those wide receivers. When you come to that huddle, you have to command it. I see that with Daniels. I'm not sure about Williams. The other thing about Jaden Daniels, let's not forget, this dude is the only quarterback in the history of college football with 12,000 passing yards, 3,000 rushing yards. And last year he completed 70 passes where he pushed the ball vertically at least 20 yards or more. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, you compare the numbers of like the top five, six quarterbacks. He's clearly the best. I mean, with like you said, the rushing yards, the passing yards, throws the ball deep. I think he has the biggest average per pass of the top guys. I mean, the numbers are staggering when you watch it. When you look at the numbers, I was going through them this morning, and I mean, he's clearly, in my opinion, the best quarterback in this class. But we all know Caleb Williams is Chicago's locked in on him. They're going to take him number one, but I think we look back on this in a few years, they're going to be kicking themselves and wishing they had taken Jaden Daniels.
Man, I'm not going to say it's going to be this dramatic by any means, because Bryce Young, I said last year, was just too small for the NFL. I think the second pick, C.J. Stroud, last year, like, should have gone first. Clearly, and we saw it last year.
Yeah, we definitely see that now for sure.
I mean, clearly should have done it, and I think he's going to be, you know, like, I mean, C.J. Stroud is going to be that dude. And then now you add, you got Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and now they got, you know, Diggs.
Like, Diggs, man.
Joe Mixon.
God, that team's going to be really good, man. They were already good last year, and they added a lot on defensive side of the ball, man. They went for it, and they're going to be good, man. That team's going to be good for a long time. You got a lot of young pieces. C.J. Stroud, like you said, is an absolute baller. Man, I'm envious. Being a Cowboys fan, I'm envious of what they're doing, man. I wish the Cowboys would operate the way they're operating, because they turned that thing around quickly, and they got several years where they're going to be playing near the top of the league, and it happened really quickly for them.
Man, it did happen quickly, and that's the thing about the draft. You know, last year, You pick Will Anderson. You grab C.J. Stroud. Look how quickly the Texans turn their fortunes around. So tonight's going to be a big night. I'm kind of curious, though. Jerry Jones, he holds a press conference yesterday, and you
yeah,
are a huge Cowboys fan. Now, this is no offense, man. Y'all hadn't been to even the NFC Championship game in at least, what, like 25 years?
Yeah.
Like, damn, it's kind of painful, but he's still holding a presser, and he's talking. And I feel like yesterday, I feel like he was, you know, pretty much throwing his quarterback under the bus. What did you take from Jerry Jones' presser?
I mean, every time Jerry Jones has a microphone, it is face I cringe because it's something dumb's going to come out of his mouth almost every time he's talking. And even Steven with the caponomics that they're talking about and pie, as they call it, you see all these other teams. This is the richest franchise in professional sports, and they operate like they're broke. I mean, they let everybody go, let Tyron Smith walk out the door. And I mean, they can afford these guys, they blame it on, well, we got to pay Dak, we got to pay CD, we got to pay Micah Parsons. Other teams have to pay guys too, and they still find ways. They don't even have the resources that you have, and they still find ways to pay all these guys. And now they're talking about Dak and how they're going to have to lower the talent around him on the offensive side of the football because they can't afford it. It's just all BS, man. Because the cap is a myth. People talk about the cap. There are ways that you can do things around it. You see teams, Philadelphia didn't have any cap space last year. They went out and made moves and added guys. You see teams do it all the time. And for some reason, they just want to operate on the budget, man. And he's trolling yesterday. Early in the offseason, he said they were going to go all in, and they didn't do anything.
They didn't make one move. Not a move.
Yeah. And he keeps on talking about all in. He was trolling the media yesterday. It was just a depressing scene, man. They've had a terrible offseason, man. And if they don't have a home run draft, man, I don't even know what to say. They have so many holes to fill. Hopefully, and they don't even have a lot of draft capital this year. Hopefully, they kind of move around, pick up an extra third or fourth round pick. They don't even have a fourth round pick right now. So they kind of have a gap between their third round and late in the fifth round as their next pick. So it would be nice if they can kind of pick up a couple extra picks here because they need a lot. I mean, they have a lot of holes to fill. They let a lot of guys walk out, and they didn't do anything to replace them. It's just weird. Just a whole offseason has been weird. They haven't even started talks with Dak or CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons on their contracts. Just I don't know what they're doing, man. They're sleeping the wheel over there.
Well, that's actually their problem is they didn't, you know, sign Dak sooner. I mean, they waited till the very, very damn, very
end. They always do that.
And when they did that, that's the reason they got, a $52 million cap. I mean, Dak Prescott's contract is 25% of the damn salary cap, basically, because they're the ones who screwed this up and negotiated it.
And they always do the same thing. They wait till the market gets set before they sign guys. Monroe St. Brown got his contract yesterday.
God, what did you see how big that sucker was?
So what's CeeDee Lamb going to get? You saw what he got. I mean, it's... I don't know, man. It's just they do this constantly. And they do the same, and I don't understand. Like, they don't learn from their mistakes. For some reason, anytime they have big contract guys, they'll wait till everybody else gets paid, and then they end up paying them more money when they talk about they can't afford them, but they end up paying them anyway. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I think they're going to pay all three of those guys, but why are you waiting until the market is set and you have to pay them more than you would have to pay them if you had done it earlier? I don't get it. I don't understand their logic.
And where they sit today at the 24th position, they're just going to – I mean, they have to get something for the left side of that offensive line, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the center and offensive left tackle is paramount. I mean, they have to find answers to that. I think running back is another position where I think that's probably what they're looking at in the second round. I mean, they have a lot of huge holes, but I think those are the top two. Graham Barton is an interior offensive lineman out of Duke. That's my – favorite pick at 24 if he makes it there. I think it's a question only if he makes it there. But I think him, Jackson Powers Johnson, is another guy out of Oregon that I really like. So, I mean, this is a good draft if you like offensive linemen, man. They're in the first round into the second, man. There are a lot of guys I think that are going to be pretty good players in this league. So they're in a good spot for that. You just hate to have to go into this draft with that many holes because you'd like to be able to do best player available because I mean, there's a lot of talent outside of that to be pigeonholed. It looks like they got to take offensive lineman, they got to take running back, and probably a linebacker in the first three rounds. You just kind of hate to be locked into that, but that's the the position they put themselves in.
The big offensive tackle at Oklahoma, Tyler Guyton, who's kind of green but very athletic, is that somebody that – would that be a reach in the first round?
He's going in the first round. He's not – that's one of the guys that I hope they don't draft.
Because he's very green. I mean, he's that dude who looks like when he walks in the room, you look at him and you're he's a football player.
6'8", 325. I mean, he's huge, but like you said, he's a little bit raw. Mm-hmm. If you take him, you're taking a chance on potential because he hasn't really played a lot as much as some of these other guys. He's not as experienced. So I'm hoping that's not the pick, but anytime I hope a guy is not the pick, that's probably exactly who they're going to draft. But he's probably one of the ones that I don't like the most out of. He's in that grouping of guys that are going to go kind of in that bottom of the first round into the second round. Troy Fatanu out of Washington is a guy that I think is probably going to go a little bit before 24. Hopefully he drops. That would be the ideal pick for me. I really love him. I don't think he makes it to 24.
Yeah, if he did get Barton, though, like that would be amazing.
Barton, yeah.
But, man, there's a lot of landmines in front of you for him to fall all the way to 24.
Yeah, I mean, the Pittsburgh, I think, at 20, Miami at 21, I think they'll both be looking at offensive linemen. And I think those are kind of the two obstacles. Who do those two teams go with? Which group of guys do they go with? Because I think both of those teams are probably almost surely taking offensive linemen. So that's going to be the situation. I think there's a high possibility that the Cowboys trade back, maybe trade to a later pick in the first round or early second and try to pick up an extra third or fourth. Because there's some other guys, Zach Frazier, is the interior offensive lineman out of West Virginia, who Zach Martin, that plays for the Cowboys, have kind of vouched for. So I'm sure with what he's giving them, I'm sure they value his opinion there. So that's probably a guy that they're looking at. Kingsley Samatea out of BYU is another guy that's probably going to go early first round. So those are a couple guys if they trade back. I think Jackson Powers Johnson was projected probably middle of the first round. He has some kind of injury red flags, so he's kind of dropped a little bit. That's a guy that you might be able to get at the back end of the first round, trading down a little bit. But there's offensive line talent there. But again, I just hate that they put themselves in a situation to where they have to take offensive linemen. I think everybody in the league knows that they're going offensive line with their first pick. I don't think there's any question. I'd be shocked if they go in any other position there.
And you know we're talking with Isaac Simpson. You follow him on Twitter at Isaac_NBA. You know, we talk a lot of Grizzlies, talk a lot of NBA, talk a lot of Tigers, but he is a huge Cowboys fan, and my man is all up in the NFL. Last question I want to ask you about the NFL, and just looking at some of the mock drafts, there was one thing that really stuck out to me because, you know, when you're looking at them and, you're looking at them and seeing what teams might do. And there was, like, I saw a mock draft that had the Dolphins at the 21st pick taking Xavier Worthy out of Texas. You know, he ran the 4.21, broke that 40-yard dash, you know, it's fastest. I mean, that's ridiculous. He ran a 4.21. Miami already has Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. If they added Worthy and you got A-Chain in the back, like, Lord have mercy. That would be the NASCAR version. It's already NASCAR of the National Football League. Do you think there's any chance they actually would take a wide receiver?
I think they're going to go offensive lineman.
I do,
too. I think they need a center. But, man, you talk about speed. You talk about him and Tyreek Hill out there, man. Just deep threat. That would be dangerous. A-Chain, you know what he can do. I think he's going to be even better coming in next season. He's put on some weight. I think he's going to have a fantastic season. That would be scary, man. I don't know what you do as a defense if you had a guy that has run the 4.2, add him out there with Tyreek Hill, man. That would be absolutely ridiculous. But I think there are a couple guys I think I would take before him. I think Brian Thomas and Adonai Mitchell out of his teammate at Texas. I think those two guys, I would probably take them before Worthy. Worthy would probably be that next guy that I would take. So I think they would kind of be reaching there if they took him at 21. But, I mean, they might like that, like you said, man, adding that speed to add that guy with Tyreek Hill. I could definitely see that because that would make them really dangerous. I mean, it's already tough enough to deal with him, Waddle, and A-Chain. Adding him, man, would just be crazy.
It would be nuts, man. We've been talking tons of NFL draft. We're going to take a quick timeout, though, because on the other side, it's time to switch up. We got to talk NBA playoffs with Isaac Simpson on the other side. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
nuts! Come on, let's get nuts.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Man, happy Thirsty Thursday. We got baseball on right now. Pirates just hit a three-run bomb after the Brewers got a bomb in the first inning. Let's just be awesome. Let's say we talked about Contreras earlier in the week, or was that last week?
It was sometime.
Man hit a bomb again today. Dude is freaking awesome, bro. Love that guy. Dude can catch. But Pirates up 3-2-1 on the Brewers. I took the Phillies. You got to pay $175. It dropped 10 bucks from when I put in my bet.
Wow. So how about that?
It's now Phillies minus 175. They play at 12-10. Zach Wheeler's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He has not gotten any run support. I think he gets it today against Nick Martinez in the Reds on the road at Great American Ballpark. But we got baseball.
Uh-huh.
We got the draft,
uh-huh.
And we got NBA playoffs.
We also have NBA news for the Grizzlies.
What?
Ja Morant has just signed to Mike Miller's agency. So he has a new agent, and it's Mike Miller.
I dig that.
Yeah, how about
let
that?
It fly.
Let it fly.
Let it fly, but isn't he already locked up?
What do you mean?
Like he's not got any contract issues going on
right now. No, but him and his agent parted ways like a month ago, and so he needed a new agent.
Well,
Mike's
congratulations,
the guy.
Mike, my man, to continued success. Isaac, what's up, homie?
Man, nothing much. I said on that note that you guys were just talking about, a lot of Grizz Nation, they can breathe now. A lot of people were speculating that he was changing agents, like he was trying to leverage himself out of Memphis and possibly get to a bigger market. I think him signing with Lyft and Mike Miller kind of should ease your mind a little bit. I think it had a lot more to do with branding than anything else that people were speculating. And again, he's locked up, like you said. It's not like he's in a situation where he's negotiating a contract within the next year or anything. So I think Grizz Nation can breathe a sigh of relief. I think we're good. I mean, even when Ja Morant signed the contract, he even gave them an extra year, man. I don't think he's a small-town kid from Dalzell, South Carolina. I don't think he's worried about big market. He's not that guy. I don't think he's trying to get out of Memphis, so to speak.
Man, I don't think so either, man. He's perfect for Memphis. What are you talking about? Perfect. Now, got to talk about some of the NBA playoffs because they've been a little bit wild. We got some games going on, and I want to first and foremost bring up what we have tonight at 9 o'clock. The Denver Nuggets have won 10 straight games against the Lakers. I mean, like, usually you're like, oh, man, in a best of 10, LeBron and AD can at least beat any team in the world with them two together at least two or three times out of 10. No, they lost 10 straight to the Nuggets. They don't seem to have an answer. And Anthony Davis yesterday threw Darvin Ham under the bus. Lakers tonight, 9 o'clock. They're a 1.5-point favorite. Do you just keep riding the Nuggets, or do you think the Lakers are going to have any fight?
I think the Lakers win tonight. I think with LeBron and how they complain about the officiating, they're back at home in L.A. I think they're going to get a really good whistle tonight. When LeBron is upset, I think the NBA listens, and I think that finally comes to an end. I think they find a way to get a win and a close one. You see that they're 1.5-point favorite. I think that streak comes to an end at 10. I think they find a way to get one on the home floor. And after that, I'm not sure because a lot of times I think when the team that's favored, you win those two games at home, you have the tendency to maybe relax a little bit, You're not going to go in and think, okay, well, we're not going to play hard, but it's just kind of a subconscious thing that you just kind of relax. I mean, you could win the series at home if you lose one of these games. I just got a feeling the Lakers find a way to get it done tonight. I think they're going to get a great whistle in this game tonight after kind of things that happened in that post game, the way LeBron kind of went off, left the press conference. I like you said, the NBA, when LeBron talks, the NBA listens. So I think the Lakers find a way to get it done tonight.
I was actually kind of surprised that, LeBron and this team was up by 20 points, and he's talking about a foul that happened late in the third quarter against D'Angelo Russell. I thought it was a bad look for LeBron, and I also thought that was a stupid shot with 13 seconds left on the clock. Why is he pulling up? I know Kentavious Caldwell-Pope fell down, But, dude, he has to know, like, bro, it ain't like you Steph Curry.
Yeah, man, you blow a 20-point lead. You can't blame officiating. And I knew the whole time. I was like, Denver's going to walk them down, and they're going to win this game, man. And that's exactly what happened. And Jamal Murray hit a hell of a shot, man, along the baseline there at the buzzer. In a normal circumstance, you'd think that would probably take their heart. It'd be hard to bounce back from. Like, they don't think they have any chance in hell of winning the series. But I think they find a way to win tonight. But you can't blame officiating, man, when you're up by 20 and you have guys like LeBron and AD, the veteran guys that have been there. You can't, that just can't happen. You talk about AD and his comments about they don't know what the hell they're doing half of the time. And Darvin Ham has walked that back and said that he prides himself on him and his staff being prepared. And that's not true at all. So, that was just an interesting comment. To kind of throw your butt. Us, but yeah, I think they find a way to get one. That might be the only one. If they win tonight, I think I'd pick Denver in game four and put them to close it out in game five. But I think they find a way to get it done tonight. But that was a man, the blow a 20-point lead, and we saw two games like that back to back. The 76ers seemed to have that game won, man. And Knicks just
that was crazy.
So victory from the jaws of defeat, in that game. That was crazy how that ended. The last 2 minute report said that Maxie got fouled twice. I mean, it's just some wild stuff. But that was a crazy doubleheader, man.
That was one of the most fun nights in the world, and especially if you were like me and were the luckiest man on planet Earth. I came out on both sides. Like, I had the Knicks. I thought 100% it was over, and they pulled out 8 points in 27 seconds. And then I had the Nuggets. They were down 20 in the third quarter. I literally got up in disgust, took my dog on a walk, and I came back, and they were down only by six. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I had Philly, so that kind of messed me up a little bit. I had Philly on the money line in that one.
Oh, that would hurt. Yeah, my old man said the same thing.
It was brutal watching that.
That my dad had the same pick, man, and he called and I'm dancing and running around the street, and he called and said that's the worst thing. And he's cussing Philadelphia, and I was like, sorry, homie, I had the other side, man. But I got to ask you one other thing about Anthony Davis, like in LeBron, since Darvin Ham walked that back and said that he was very prepared. Is there like Anthony Davis and LeBron looked, I think, terrible after that loss because, one, LeBron talking about a third-quarter foul. They blew a 20-point lead. He missed the three-pointer. He didn't have a great fourth quarter. But Anthony Davis, who had 32 points in that damn game, didn't score a single point in the fourth quarter. Yeah. How's that? He only took one shot in the fourth quarter. Is that what he's complaining about with Darvin Ham, that they never gave him the damn ball? Like, how does Anthony Davis, who led the team in scoring, not take more than one shot in the fourth quarter? That's crazy to me.
I just don't know what these coaches are doing a lot of the times. I don't understand it. You'll have a guy that dominates this matchup, and then they'll completely go away from it. And like you said, he had 32 points in the game and didn't even score. Only took one shot in the fourth quarter. I mean, I don't understand it. You have LeBron and AD. Those are your two guys. How in a game like that, especially when you're a game where your team's walking you down, as dominant as he can be at times, how does he only get one touch, one shot? I don't understand that. You can talk about Darvin Ham, and that plays into what AD said, that they don't know what they're doing, because that's not smart basketball.
Nope.
That for AD not to only get one shot, even if he's struggling, he should get more than one shot in the fourth quarter, because that's your guy. You have to live and die with your guys, and they didn't do that in that game. And LeBron, like I said, that's a terrible shot. I don't know why he's taking that shot at that point, because, I mean, that's not his game. Drive the basketball. Like, I don't know why you're taking a three at that point. But I just had a feeling that whole time that Denver was going to walk him down. I mean, I was like, if this game gets close, if they get this thing down to 6 or 7 points with 3 or 4 minutes to go, they're going to end up winning this basketball game. And that's exactly what it did. It didn't even get to overtime. Like you said, man, Jamal Murray was just a hell of a shot. And he just takes this game to another level in the playoffs, man. Year in and year out, he does it, man. It's tough, man, but I don't know what LeBron is going to do after this. I mean, because I feel like they're going to lose this series probably in 5 games, and you have to come back and do this again, and I think it's only going to get worse for this team. I don't think they're going to be any better next year, and they barely sneaked in, had to get into the play-in this year. At some point, you have to think about if he's going to stay with the Lakers, what am I doing this for? I'm 40 years old. I got to try to get back and get ready for this, and we might not even make the playoffs. So that's an interesting scenario going to the summer, I've looked at everybody saying he's not going to leave L.A., but that's kind of a bleak situation if you're kind of looking at it from his perspective.
That is a
good point. He put himself in that position, so, I mean, I can't feel sorry for him, but it's just kind of interesting.
That is a very, very good point. Last but not least, man, the Knicks 76ers, you talked about them, that crazy loss again. The Knicks and the Nova boys, DiVincenzo, Hart, Brunson, they're heading back to Philadelphia. Nova's not far. Do you like the Knicks on the road, or do you think the 76ers can get up off the mat after that crazy loss?
Yeah, I think the Sixers. I think the Sixers win tonight. They're five and a half point favorite because I think these coming in. I think this was an evenly matched series. It should be. It should be 1-1 right now. So I can't see the Knicks. I mean, I can't see them going up 3-0. That would be crazy because I feel like these are kind of two evenly matched teams. And shout out to Joel Embiid, man. He's been toughing it out, man. You can tell he's not even close to 100%, man. He's still out there getting
it's
it done, man.
Watch.
Looks like they had him out there doped up, man. Did you see the video where he couldn't? It was like he couldn't blink with his right eye. He's only blinking with his left eye. I think they had him shot up on painkiller. But somehow, man, he's getting through it. And he said after the game that they're the better team. They're going to win this series. So if that's going to happen, they have to win tonight. They can't go down 3-0. But I think they're going to get in front of the home crowd. I think they're going to be ready, and I think they're going to win because I feel like they got one stolen from them. I know that's tough to bounce back from, but I feel like they're an evenly matched team with the Knicks, and I just can't see them going down 3-0 because, like I said, it should be 1-1 right now.
Tell everybody where you're at, what you're working on, what you got coming down the pipe, homie.
Yeah, man. Isaac_NBA is for my regular Twitter feed. Ethos Grizzly. Go over there and check that out at TigerSportsReport.com.
Man, Isaac, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday baseball, NFL draft, and NBA hoops. I'm sure you're going to be busy as all get out.
Man, will do, man. Talk to you next week.
That's Isaac Simpson. We're late for a break. We got Evie Van Pelt on the other side from the Weber Walk. It's a Thirsty Thursday, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.